More businesses and public spaces are opening this week in California, and a new rule requires that everyone wear masks while out in public. It's a mandate that has become increasingly politicized. California Surgeon General and author of The Deepest Well, Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, joins us now for more. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Doctor, California is seeing a surge in COVID-19 hospitalizations, and now folks are being asked to wear masks at all times in public places. That's controversial for some. How is California hoping to enforce this, but also address people who see the mandatory mask as an encroachment on their rights?
Yeah, so I think that what we're seeing in terms of the mandatory mask at this point is that the goal of this is really around protecting Californians and protecting their health, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is really the key factor here. And that's the thing that we're trying to, as we are opening back up as a state, as we are considering, you know, how we can get back to economic activity and all of that piece, how do we do this in the safest way possible?
In the past 2 months, California has seen 7 top public health officials resign after facing harassment over recommending the use of masks and other measures. What do you make of this, and how can California battle COVID-19 if it keeps losing public health officials?
I will have to say that being a public health official right now is really hard. Our public health officers all across the state are working incredible hours, and it's a really difficult time. And I think that it's really unfortunate that so many public health officers are facing harassment when they're really showing up to try to protect the health and safety of everyday Californians.
I can imagine this is a conundrum, though, because their jobs are extremely important, and yet you're losing them in the state. What can be done to mitigate, and what are you asking the public when it comes to this? I think there's just the push and pull of people who feel like it's an infringement on their rights, with those who really understand the health implications of not protecting themselves.
Yeah, I think we see a lot of ways in which the response to the COVID pandemic has been unfortunately politicized. And what we recognize is that the public health guidelines, it's not about politics, it's about public health and safety, right? It's about trying to reduce disease and death. And it's also about taking a smart approach to moving forward with balancing being able to open up our state, right, so that we can restore economic activity with the public health and safety. So from that standpoint, I think, you know, one of the things that I think that we can ask Californians is for a recognition that we all have an important role to play. We all can do our part by following public health guidelines, by practicing social distancing, by wearing a face covering and doing these things that help to keep our friends and our neighbors safe.
Mm-hmm. Of course, California is not just battling COVID-19, but like the rest of the country, grappling with the death of George Floyd and racism. You recently wrote an article entitled "George Floyd's Death is Killing Me," in which you outline the two pandemics we're battling, which includes systemic racism as well as COVID-19. You see a through line and a connection between the protests happening and the disproportionate effect that COVID-19 is having on Black communities. Can you say more about how the two are connected from your view?
Absolutely. I have spent my career as a pediatrician, a scientist, a researcher on a biological process known as the toxic stress response. And what we understand is that when individuals are exposed to repeated threats, and particularly during critical stages of development, that it can actually, these threats activate our biological stress response. And when that biological stress response is activated too frequently, too severely, that it can lead to changes in the way our stress response functions, and actually can lead to changes in our immune system, our brain development, our hormonal system. And this is what scientists are now referring to as the toxic stress response. What we see is that racism is a risk factor for developing the toxic stress response. And that's why I say that it's no coincidence, as we're seeing the COVID-19 pandemic, right, that we are seeing Black and brown folks dying at a higher rate. And as we are seeing right now with the protests against racial injustice, these things are connected. The ways in which Black and brown folks are dying of racism are captured in a powerful and undeniable way in the video of George Floyd's death. But they're also captured in the numbers of disparities that we are seeing in deaths from COVID-19 as a result of the impacts of racism on health.
You know, we've really just recently been talking about this. I'm thinking about the conversations and the deep reporting that's been happening about maternal health outcomes for women of color. But what you just said there, people are dying of racism. What policies can be implemented now that address that racial inequity that is now rendered so clear by COVID-19?
Well, what we need to see are anti-racist policies that go across the board, from our housing policies to, you know, all the way across. It's really going to take us time to really implement. For myself, as California Surgeon General, one of the efforts that I have been proud to lead is an effort called ACEs Aware to help primary care clinicians across the state of California understand how to recognize and address the toxic stress response clinically so that we can look at improving health outcomes for individuals at risk for toxic stress.
So ACEs Aware was just launched in January of 2020. What will be your measures of success? How would you define success? And how many years down the line do you believe we will start to see the outcomes of this type of action?
Well, as a researcher and a scientist, I'm always looking at multiple measures, right? I'm a total data geek, so I'm looking at data all the time. And there are multiple measures of success. I think the one measure of success is how many of our clinicians actually take this ACEs Aware training and become trauma-informed in their clinical practice. That's a really important measure. Another measure is patient experience, patient satisfaction, provider experiences. But ultimately, what we're driving to is improved health outcomes.
You know, doctor, as we're talking, I'm also thinking about my children. I worry about the generational trauma of racism and how that will impact them, but also how their own experiences and reactions to global protests might weigh on them. I mean, in our house, we talk about race and racism all the time, especially now. But how would you recommend we strike that balance of allowing them to be children, so to speak, but also keeping in mind that racism is a health issue?
Absolutely. I think as a mother, as a parent of four Black boys, we're having this conversation in my household quite a bit. And one of the things that I do when I'm talking to our kids about it is, you know, we're having these conversations about what we're seeing, about the protests, about racism, about what that means. And then also sharing around, helping to make meaning of this moment, helping to make meaning of these protests, right? That hopefully that these protests are in service of getting to a better place, and also helping our kids recognize how they can participate positively in the change. And even if it's just the, you know, my 4-year-old and my 8-year-old painting signs that say Black Lives Matter, right? that we put in our front yard, right? That's them having an opportunity to be part of the struggle. And I think that it's important for our kids in this moment, not only to make meaning of what's going on, but also recognizing how they can participate affirmatively. Because otherwise it can just feel scary. I think with COVID-19 and with the protests against racial injustice, it can feel really scary for kids. And I think as a parent, one of the things I see that's really important and part of my role is to help them understand, how do we make it through difficult moments, right? Like, how do we show up, and how do we care for ourselves? And then how do we be part of the solution?
That's Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, California Surgeon General. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This is Here and Now.